So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So this is the 53rd limb of devotion. Tadiyanam sevanam tulasya. This is from Skanda Puran. And Rupa Goswami gives a quotation here to describe this, how even we're most of these principles of devotion, the 64 principles of devotion, are all about connecting with Krishna. Contacting Krishna's deity, contacting Krishna's seva. And now he wants to extend the point that even if we contact things connected to Krishna, that's also purifying, and that's also improves our devotion. Yadrishta nikilaga sangha shamani sprishta vapupavani roganam abhivandita nirasini shiktantaka chasini prayasati vidayani bhagavata krishnasya samropita nyasta tachcharane vimukti falada tasye tulasye namaha. This is service to things related to the Lord. Well, this is actually, it's very interesting. This translation, I've often heard one godbrother, he sometimes repeats this in English after Tulsi Puja. Our Navayogendra Swami, who's from, born in Kashmir. You've seen maybe Navayogendra, have you seen? He's a Kashmiri Brahmin who took shelter of Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's senior disciples, who took sannyas, I think, from Prabhupada also. He oftentimes recites this. Seeing in English, it sounds quite, and most people don't know where he's coming from. They're just sitting there. He's a little bit like showman type. Seeing Tulsi destroys all sins. Touching her purifies the body. Bowing to her destroys all sufferings. Sprinkling Tulsi with water delivers one from death. Planting Tulsi bestows attachment of the mind to Lord Krishna. Offering her to Krishna's lotus feet bestows special liberation in the form of prema. I offer my respects to Tulsi. I don't know if he uses exactly the same wording, but this particular verse, which is in Nectar Devotion also, glorifying Tulsi, he repeats in English. Krishna Jivini Nandini Pushprasar Tulasi Vishapavani Vishapuji Brindavanavani. This is one prayer that's also in Padma Puran that Krishna offered to Tulsi when she manifests in this world. Krishna Jivani Nandani Pushpa Sara Tulasi Vishwapavani Vishwapujita Brinda Brindavani. And this is spoken directly by Krishna glorifying Tulsi. So this is another prayer. So the whole idea is, this is called Tadiyanam Sevanam. So serving things that are related to Krishna. So this is, Tulsi is being cited here. Tulsi is so much part of Vaishnav culture, and some, especially in Gaudiya Vaishnav culture. Prabhupada has given us all the essential elements of Vaishnav culture. If you look at Prabhupada's presentation of ISKCON, you can see that he very much emphasized Panchanga Bhakti. There's the nine limbs of devotion spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in seventh canto, and the 64 limbs of devotion, but they're actually summarized in five, Panchanga Bhakti. And Prabhupada actually centered his whole ISKCON around this idea of engaging the disciples in Panchanga Bhakti. So one of the limbs of Panchanga Bhakti is called Sri Murtaye Shraddha Seva, to serve the deity with great faith. So serving the deity, Prabhupada established deities around the world, Gornitai, Radha and Krishna, and then engaged the disciples in serving them in a very, very regulated way, and a very, very regulated. What were the three principles that Prabhupada instituted in deity worship? Were regulation, simplicity, and cleanliness. Things should be, the temple and the deity worship should be punctual, everything very punctual. We used to keep a record in the temple of exactly what time Mangalartik was, and it wasn't a minute late. So the punctuality on time, and cleanliness, and simplicity. So everyone can understand what is punctuality, to be on time, and cleanliness. And as Prabhupada used the term, revolutionarily clean. a cleaning revolution. Should be so clean, spotless, spick and span. I mean, really clean. And that was the fact, the deity paraphernalia, the deity room, the kitchen, everything was so clean in all the Western temples, and Indian also, as much as possible. But the third principle is simplicity. So this may escape our understanding, because we may have some conception of what is simplicity. But Prabhupada's definition of simplicity was that we don't concoct and make up different ideas for puja. Whatever Prabhupada's established and whatever given in the puja manuals of ISKCON, we should follow that and not introduce whimsical or imaginary processes of deity worship. Years ago when Prabhupada was here, someone, in terms of decorating a deity, Sringhar, that was once fashionable, you could easily buy big feathers. There was these big feathers called ostrich feathers. They have those in New Zealand also? They're from Africa or something? Australia. So one of those unusual type of creatures. So there's this big type of bird, I suppose, and he has these big feathers. And they were selling those in America, importing them from Australia. And they would dye them different colors. And so devotees were sticking all these ostrich feathers on Radharani and Krishna in the decoration. And they were going, they were about 3 feet long, they were going up like this and out like that. It looked a little strange, but devotees thought they looked pretty. So Prabhupada, when he came for darshan, what is this? You know, ostrich feathers. I've heard of peacock feathers, but not ostrich. Ostrich is a very strange tropical bird. So Prabhupada said, don't change what I've given you, don't concoct. So these principles are there. So Prabhupada, along with this, introducing this principle of Shri Murti Shuddha Seva, to serve the Murti with great faith, he also introduced the worship of Tulsi Devi in a very complete and caring way. The Tulsi has been worshipped around the world in ISKCON temples. That was one thing that was would impress the Indians in America, was especially the way we took care of Tulsi. We'd have special, if it was a cold climate like Pennsylvania or Washington or New York, we'd have very elaborate arrangements of greenhouses and special lighting. There's special lighting for, you can buy these special light bulbs for growing plants, grow lux lights, and all kinds of fertilizer and high potency food to feed the Tulsis. And people would be amazed when they went to our temples and they see it'd be winter time and snow all over the ground, and they see that we'd have a greenhouse on the roof of the New York temple. And in the greenhouse, there would be like 4 foot high, 5 foot high Tulsi plants. I mean, huge. Almost, you know, huge Tulsi plants and so many munjaris. And I said, how is this possible? You people have so much devotion for Tulsi. Tadiyanam Sevanam. So this is this principle, Tadiyanam Sevanam, 53rd principle. So this is a limb of serving the deity. So Prabhupada engaged us in the most vital, in his ISKCON mission, he engaged his disciples in the most vital and powerful limbs of bhakti. Deity worship and Tulsi worship and worshiping the word Tadiyanam Sevanam means worshiping that those things which are most dear to Krishna. And so there are many things that are connected to and dear to Krishna, but Tulsi is primary. Pushpasara Tulasi. Krishna tells himself in his prayer, Krishna Jivani Nandani Pushpasara Tulasi. That Tulsi, you are the essence, you are the most important of all flowers, Pushpasara. If all the other flowers are there and Tulsi's not there, then Krishna's not happy. And Dasama Skanda explains that when the gopis make garlands for Krishna, they weave. There's so many, Vaijayanti garland is there, five kinds of flowers, but one of those flowers is also Tulsi Manjaris. Krishna doesn't even accept a garland without manjaris. I've often told this point. In the old days, I don't know now, but in the old days, all the malis, whenever you would buy a garland, go to Banki Bihari or anywhere, and buy a flower garland, they would always put Tulsi leaves on the top of the garland. You know, they have a a leaf plate, and then they put the garland there. And then they would always have a big stash of tulsi leaves. They put some tulsi leaves there, and then they would give it to you and wrap it with string. Then you would offer it to the deity. You'd offer the garland with tulsi leaves on it. Because the Malis, the garland salesmen, they knew that none of the Pujaris would not accept a garland without tulsi. Now I don't know what they do in front of ISKCON. I think they just sell the garland without the tulsi. But up until maybe 10 years ago, because if you went in any temple in Vrindavan, when you offer them a garland, they say, "Where's the tulsi? Where's the tulsi? Get tulsi." This was one of the principles. So now again, the next verse is verse 204 and 5. This is further elaboration on the 53rd Lima Bhakti, which is Tindinam Sevanam. And Rupa Goswami is citing the worship of Tulsi as the primary example of Sevanam, serving those things related to Krishna. Drishta Sprishta Tata Dhyata Kirtita Namita Stuta Ropita Sevita Nityam Pujita Tulsi Shubha Navada Tulasim Devim Ye Bajanti Dine Dine Yuga Koti Sahasrani Te Vasanti Harer Grihe. This is also from Skanda Puran. And again, it's about Tulsi. No. Yes. Those who worship auspicious Tulsi daily by nine processes, namely seeing Tulsi every day, touching Tulsi every day, meditating on Tulsi every day, glorifying Tulsi every day, offering obeisances to Tulsi every day, praising Tulsi every day, planting Tulsi, serving and worshiping her. Anyone who does that, they will live in the home of the Lord for 10 billion yugas. That's a pretty long time. Probably you get pretty accustomed to it after 10 billion yugas. Probably wouldn't want to leave. After staying 10 billion yugas with the Lord, you probably wouldn't want to move anywhere else. And probably go run another 10 billion, I suppose. Yoga koti sahasrani te vasanti harer grihe. Vasanti harer, it's like same as Hindi. Hari griha. The Hari griha, the house of Hari. Vasanti means to reside or live, vas. Vasanti harer grihai. So, again, there's two verses. The principle is the 53rd limb of devotion is tadinam sevanam, serving those things related to Krishna. And the two supporting verses he gives as examples of tadinam sevanam is tulsi seva. Two different verses from Skanda Puran. So the conclusion one can draw is that serving tulsi is the epitome of the 53rd limb of devotion, tadinam sevanam. It's so important. So Prabhupada, of course, when he was very familiar with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Back to Godhead magazine, which he published in Hindi and English, in 1944, if you see old editions which are available from the archives, Prabhupada initially started to translate Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse, each Sanskrit verse as we're doing now, with the translation and the word for word in the Tika. So he did the introductory verses. He did Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadhyana Vritam Anukulyena Krishnanu, Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. And then we took points from that purport of Prabhupada when we gave our classes last year on some of those verses. But then time constraints and whatnot, Prabhupada eventually made a summary study of Nectar Devotion, which we call Nectar Devotion. But it was definitely Prabhupada's intention and desire to give us the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Sanskrit verse by Sanskrit verse with the tikas and commentaries. Because that's what he started in 1944. So the work that Prabhupada started in 1944 of translating and explaining the verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that was completed by his disciple Banu Maharaj in 2006. So whatever is initiated, whatever the guru initiates, if he's not able to complete it because Krishna has some other desire for him, then the disciples will complete it oftentimes. So now we're fortunate that Prabhupada's initiative and his will has been executed by his disciple, Bhanu Maharaj. So now we're going through verse by verse with Bhanu Maharaj is not giving his commentary, but he's supplying Jiva Goswami and Vishnu's commentaries. So tomorrow we'll discuss service. It's called Shastrasya. Shastrasya, which is service to the scriptures. So the conclusion we can get from today's discussion of Tadinam Sevanam is that it's very important to serve Tulsi. Remember Tulsi and worship Tulsi. Oftentimes we meet devotees, Grihastha devotees, and maybe they're new devotees. We say, you have Tulsi in your house? And they say, oh no, we don't have. You know, somehow they don't understand the importance. Tulsi is so important, actually, in the life of a devotee. And we should understand the importance. Sometimes I meet people and I say, did you offer water to Tulsi today? Oh no, I forgot. And when you live in a temple, you get trained up in this way. But when people live at home, they have Tulsi in their home, they take the leaves and put them on the boga and offer to the deities. But they don't have this whole concept of watering Tulsi every day or what to speak of Artik. But even the minimal pouring water every day in Tulsi, they forget to do or they don't know to do. And I've seen in my own students, married students, I said, you worship, obviously maybe they don't worship Tulsi every day, they don't have time or whatever. I said, do you offer water every day to Tulsi? Oh no, you're supposed to? And we put water, once she's dry, we put water, but No, it's very important. Watering Tulsi is like watering the creeper of bhakti. And many devotees have personal accounts of how Tulsi blessed them and helped them in their lives. It's quite amazing. I had one godbrother, and he was explaining his life situation. He had left his wife and got a new wife and had a very interesting life. And then he was saying that there wasn't much, he'd say the house situation wasn't very much nice and supportive, and you hadn't worshipped Tulsi in so many years. And I was saying, because he asked me, can you give me some recommendations to improve my household situation? And I told him, I said, well, when you go back, if maybe since you're the devotional person in the family, in your new family, why don't you begin worshipping Tulsi? Get Tulsi. He asked me to give some suggestion. I said, why don't you worship Tulsi? And then he called, and as soon as he got back to Los Angeles, he called me up on the phone. He said, Maharaj, you won't believe it. When I got back home, in the dining table, there was a Tulsi plant. And I just think that you sent this Tulsi plant there. And what had happened is that my son, who lives with his previous wife, his divorce, my son went to the temple in L.A. and he got inspired for some reason, and I hardly ever see him because he lives with my first wife. And he got inspired for some reason and he went to the Tulsi Pujari and said, can I have a Tulsi plant for my father? I think he's in Maya, he needs to have Tulsi. So then he came over and I was in India, so he just left it with my wife and he said, this is for my father. So he says, I think you arranged all this. So he started worshipping Tulsi. And now he's doing lots of service, actually. It's all part of Krishna's plan, obviously. Krishna's moving all the pieces and making all the players speak in a particular way. Well, it's quite an interesting experience to be one of the players in Krishna's game. It's Krishna's game, and he's moving the players. It's his game means lila. Lila means game, play, game. And we're all in Krishna's lila. Some of us know it, and some of us don't know it. There's no one that's outside of Krishna's lila. The whole Srishti lila is Krishna's lila. Just like you, A man he plays games with his wife or his family, but then he plays games on the computer, or maybe he plays games in business or whatever. He's playing different places or plays sports with his friends. So Krishna, he has different forms in which he plays games. He plays intimate games with his intimate friends in Vrindavan. But then he expands himself and he plays games with the Tathastha Jivas. And that's called Shristi Leela, Shristi Pralaya, creation. This is all Leela, this whole material world is called Shristi Leela. Prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. So one particular form the Lord is having is Leela. We're in his Leela. We're not in Krishna Leela, Braj Leela of Krishna. We can't say that. We can say we're in the Purusha Avatar Leela. We're in the Purusha Avatar Leela, the Vishnu Leela. Because Mahavishnu is involved in this Leela. Garbhadaksha Vishnu is involved in this Leela, and Shiradaksha Vishnu is involved in this Leela. The director is right inside the actor. And that's really hands-on management. Usually the actor is there on the stage, and the director is standing here behind the camera. Hey, do this, like, do it. But here, the director is a super soul, Antaryami, Shiradaksha Vishnu. He's right inside the actor. That's the ultimate in direction. In drama, imagine the director might think of some movie director, if I can only get inside this guy's head and convey to him how to express or how to move in this particular scene. So Shiradaksha Vishnu, Krishna's directing the drama from right inside the heart, and we're just moving according to the lines, particular set of lines and particular. So this is Leela. So maybe we don't like this drama so much, so we may appeal to the director. My dear drama director, my dear Chaitya Guru, I don't like this play. You're playing with me and I don't want to play anymore. I want to go to another stage. I want to dance on another stage. I want to dance on a mandal. It's called mandal. Mandal means stage, Braj mandal. This Maya Jagat, this Jagat Maya Jagat Mandal, I don't so much appreciate. Janma Mritu Javyadi Dukadoshana Darshanam. I want to dance to a different tune. I don't want to dance to the din-din drum. I don't want to dance to the damru, the din-din drum. I no longer want to dance to the damru of Shiva. Ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta. Birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. Ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta. I want to dance to the Murali, right? Vamshidari, Krishna Murari, Toma Bina Dukahari. Vamshidari, Krishna Murari, Toma Bina Dukahari. So this is our petition of the conditioned jiva. He wants to leave this stage and dance. Because always we're directed, Yantra Udani Mayaya, right? Yantra. Says the word Krishna's Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddesh Arjuna Tishtati Brahmyan Sarvabhutani Yantra Yudani Maya in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's in everyone's heart and he's directing. It says, that's the verse. It's, I forget, maybe 13th chapter or so. 18th chapter, 13th chapter. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddesh Arjuna Tishtati Riddhi Tishtan. Tishtan means he's standing in the heart. So Prabhupada translates it, the verse as Ishvara Sarvabhutani. The Supreme Lord has entered into everyone's heart and he's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are existing in this body like a machine. This body's like a machine. He's directing the wanderings. That's what he's the director. It's right out of the Bhagavad Gita. So director means a drama. Drama means play. It's a leela. So that's why we take up the line of devotion. We were trying to dance under a new director. We want to be directed by the internal energy. We want to be directed by the agents of the internal energy. Lita Sakhi, Vishaka Sakhi, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri, our Guru Varg, our Guru Sakhi Varg. We want to move in their under their direction. Guru Agya. It's called Guru Agya, the order and direction of Guru. Now we're moving under the order and direction of Maya, Durga. She's a very hard taskmaster.